All right, we have begun. So we're now going to learn Menachos Daf Lamed Hey, Lamed Aleph and Lamed Bet. Last time we did Lamed Dalet. It's continuing with the sugya of Tefillin. So at the top of the page it says Ela Gviata. That's the right one.
That's
Lamed Aleph? Yeah, that's Lamed Aleph. That's Lamed Aleph. Basically, Lamed Dalet, Lamed Hey, Lamed Vav is the sugya of Tefillin. Almost all the halachot of Tefillin come from these dapim. So hopefully we'll be able to learn all of them. And then you'll know everything there is to know about tefillin. Dad, actually, if you wouldn't mind, can you get your pair of tefillin out for us? Thank you.
Are you going to tell me that they're possible now?
Only if I can tell from the outside.
I've got a question.
Well, we're only going to be talking about the outside.
I do have a question, actually.
All right, so let's see if it comes up. All right. So we're at the top of Lamed Hey, Lamed Aleph, which starts with Ela L'Gviata. Now, it starts from right before, but it's only two lines. So I'm just going to read the two lines out loud, and you guys just have to pay attention, all right? This is not on the page. Amar Rav Chananel, Amar Rav, Hichlif Parshiotea Psulot. Amar Abaye, Lo Amran Ela, now you can start reading, Gviata L'Gviata, Uvriata L'Gviata L'Gviata. So what happened is, remember we had been discussing the placement of the parashiyot in the tefillin? So we talked about how there are four separate parashiyot in the head tefillin, and there's one, there are four parashiyot in the yad tefillin, but it's all written on one piece of parchment. And in the head tefillin, there's a question about how you place them, right? We talked about whether it's placed in order, that's Shitas Rashi, or whether you place it a little bit out of order, like Shitas Rabbi Tam, okay, where the two middle ones are switched. Yes? Everybody remember that? Okay. So, now, how important is this? So, Rav Chananel quotes Rav, who says that if you change the order of the passages, then the whole thing is pasul. Then it's psul. And Abaye steps in, he says, well, not quite. He says, really, it's only pasul if you exchange an inner one with an outer one. What does that mean? Rashi says, at the top of the page, Rashi says, according to his shita, Shekatav vaya ki yaviacha, kodem lekadesh. Right? It's supposed to go kadesh, which is early on in the Torah, and then vaya ki yaviacha, dinaset pnimit chitzonah. Because what happens then? The vaya one goes on the outside, and the kadesh goes on the inside. That's when it's a problem. But if you were to switch them around in some other way, so for example, if you switch the two inner ones, right? Basically, it's going to be in a time, right?
But it's still out of order.
So then he's saying that it's going to be okay.
But if you switch the inner one, it's still out of order.
It'll be out of order, but it's still okay according to Abaye. According to Rav Chananel, it's not okay at all. It has to be in the exact order. According to Abaye, it's okay as long as the inner ones are inside and the outer ones are outside. You could also switch the two outer ones, according to this.
And Chabad holds by Rav Chananel.
No, Chabad, they do Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam.
Right, because they must find that it matters, that it's Ma'akev if you have...
Yeah, but also, you know, even if it wasn't, they would still do it, because L'chatchila, you would still want to do it.
Did you answer my question last week? I said, when do you change to put on Rabbeinu Tam?
You're supposed to do it after davening.
After Shmona.
Many people have the minhag to do it during Chazarat HaShatz, and the Mishnah Berurah is very upset about it. The proper time to do it is after davening.
The Moroccans saw the...
Okay, so they don't have to care about Mishnah Berurah.
Every once in a while I daven at the Klevender Shtibul, and there's one older Sephardi gentleman who has two pairs of tefillin at the same time.
Okay, in the top. Yeah. One in front and one in the back?
One in front, one in the back.
Can you count two ones?
Yes. Whoa. I've seen them several times.
It's the guy who has the go-kart. Yes.
You have another guy that weighs...
Based on the Gemara we saw last week, there's a basis for it.
Isn't that a chatzitza?
No, because it's made from the same material. You know,
the Rav Levinson weighs 8 or 9 pairs of tzitzit.
Never seen that.
Well, that was of Scheinberg.
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 I know it was 99.
We're 70 pairs, I think.
He looked like a.
You ever see a picture? Yeah, if you ever see a picture when he took them off. If you ever see a picture when he took them, he's a tiny. He was a tiny man.
Yeah,
a tiny man.
We got brothers from
Okay, let's continue. So Abaye says it only matters if you switch inside with outside. Is fine. No problem with that. Amalei Rava. So Rava says to Abaye, they always argue. So Rava says to Abaye, Maishna gvayata levarata. What is the difference if it's inside, outside, outside, inside? Who cares? What do you say? Legavayata de lo dehach de bay lemichse avira lo kachazia. What are you going to say? You're going to say that the one that's on the outside, right? The Kadesh, let's say. He's supposed to, quote unquote, see space. In other words, he's supposed to see the outside world. He's supposed to see air. And the one on the inside is not supposed to see any air. So if you switch them, then the one who's not supposed to see any air is going to see air. Obviously, I'm not even trying to be anthropomorphic. He's just saying that... apparently, the ones that are inside are supposed to be inside. They're not supposed to be outside. And the ones who are outside, at least on one side, are supposed to be outside. They're not supposed to be inside. There's an importance to inside and outside. So Rava says, but what do you mean? Brayta levarayata v'gavayata l'gavayata nami. Hach debay lemichsi avira diyamin, kachazi avira desmo. Udesmo, kachazi avira diyamin. If you switch the Kadesh on the right side with the Shema on the outside, then you'll have the same problem because the Kadesh is supposed to see
the
Kadesh is supposed to see whatever side he's supposed to see. I'm not going to do, I have no spatial logic right now. He's supposed to see his side, and the Shema is supposed to see his side. And if you switch them, then they're going to see the wrong side. Ella Loshna. Rather, it doesn't matter. It sounds like Rava seems saying it doesn't matter. Now, does it matter Lechumra or does it not matter Lekula? Presumably, the Chumrah. Presumably he thinks that it's a problem either way. Okay, so that's number one. That's halacha number one that we're going to see tonight. So in the end, basically everybody agrees that it does matter, right? And that's what the Rav Chaim that we saw last week. Rav Chaim asked, and he said, you know, we saw last week that there are actually four shitot, not last week, 2 weeks ago, four shitot about how to place the parashiyot. Mm-hmm. Rashi, which is in order, Rabbi Natan, which is slightly out of order, and then the reverse. We have the Shibush Adiraba, which I think holds like Rashi, which just reverses it, meaning in order but the other direction. Right? It's either Lafiha Kore, which is looking at the tefillin, or Lafiha Miniach, which is wearing the tefillin. Rashi thinks, I believe it's Lafiha Kore. It has to go in order of Lafiha Kore, so it's from, if you're facing the person, so it goes from right to left, that in order. And I think it's the Shimush Rabba who switches it and says, no, it's the Fiyam Niach, so it goes left to right if you're facing. Whatever, it's all confusing. And then you have Rabbi Natan who switches, and then the Ravid, who's the mirror image of Rabbi Natan. So there's actually four Shitot. But nobody does the Ravid or the Shimush Rabba. So Rav Chaim asked why. And he said, because Rashi and Rabbi Natan, everybody can agree that if all you do is switch around the whole thing, then that's going to be okay b'diavad. Wearing your tefillin backwards is kosher b'diavad. That's what he's assuming. What's not okay is switching what's going on inside. If it's out of order, that's what Rav Chananel, quoting Rav, that's going to be completely legitimate according to everybody. So that's why you have to, if you're going to be machmir, then it's worth being machmir for Rabbeinu Tam. But it's not worth being machmir for the Ravid or the Shimush Rabba.
Can I ask, would that pose a problem with somebody who's left-handed or right-handed? Because when they switch it,
no, it's only the Shalrosh.
Oh, you're talking about the Shalrosh.
Yeah, we're only talking about the Shalrosh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's the right-handed.
Right-handed or left-handed, yes.
Dani, this is...
Correct.
Pasul is from the writer, but what's
sure.
The halakha of Moshe Sinai was...
Yes.
This is what they're arguing about, the halakha of Moshe Sinai was?
100%.
Okay.
Yeah. Now we're going to see real halachah of Moshe Mishinais. There's going to be, now we're going to see a bunch of halachah of Moshe Mishinais now. Because as you know, the Torah doesn't really tell you much about tefillin. It just tells you have to wear them. And even that, it doesn't even tell you,
it's not
even specific about where. I mean, it tells you where, but we don't even put it there. So everything is kind of up in the air. But now we're going to talk actually about the construction of the tefillin. Okay? Okay. So, first thing that we're going to talk about. The Gemara says as follows. Amarav. Amar Rav Chananel Amarav. Titura de tefillin. Titura de tefillin. Halacha le Moshe Misanai. I'm going to open this. Is that okay?
It's okay.
Titura. What's the titura? No? Anybody know? Okay, there's a few different parts to the tefillin. Very good. So the gesher. So what does that mean?
It's what Rashi. That's not the meat.
So good. So read Rashi for us, Yoav. Titura.
Gesher leachar shematan ha'igrot v'batim derech ha'peh ha'rachav shabatim asuim ke'ein bateyadayim shekurim gotan. Gotan.
Okay,
okay,
good.
Okay, anyway.
Keep going. Okay.
Here
okay, here we go. Yeah. Okay, so here's what he's talking about, right? As we spoke about last time, what is this made out of? Good. So the whole thing is made out of cow, right? Whole thing is made out of leather. This is processed leather that's been ubad, that's been oxidized, all that's good stuff. And then hardened. It's really, really hard. If you try to rip it apart, you can't. This box is not what we're talking about. What we're talking about now is, for sure, this part. Okay? This guy over here. Okay? That's what Rashi says when he says, okay, you fold over the three parts, and the fourth part, you leave longer. You leave longer. Now, according to Rashi, there's a big machloket, whether or not this has to exist. You see how it juts out on the other three sides as well? Mm-hmm. Right? You have a box. In theory, this could have gone straight down, and then you could have just had the fourth one of the walls would just be sticking out a little bit, and then you would somehow get the rutsu out through. Right? Sure. It could be that that's what Rashi holds. It's not clear, but it could be that's what Rashi holds to do. We don't do that. Okay? We don't do that. If you look at Tosas at the top, Tosas also tells you, Hua or hanichbal lemata, shemachase pi habatim. It's talking about the bottom part of the leather. Vahu beit moshavo shel tefillin, v'nira ke'ein daf shel gesher, umash mitoch perish hakutra shel batim batitura, hakol mi'or echad, v'ein noagin ken. Rashi says that the whole thing has to be out of one piece of leather, and Tosas says that's not the minhag, that we do it out of two pieces of leather, which is why you can open this up. You can open this up. And this is a piece, and this is a piece.
You mean that?
Yeah, this is sewn together.
The cube separates from the bottom?
Yeah, you can see from here. You can see right there if you want
to
look.
The cube is sewn
together. That's why it's sewn
together.
When the sofer opens it up and puts everything in, this box is by itself.
Oh, yeah. I thought,
can see that it's all sewn.
I thought if a sofer opens it up, he opens it from down to the bottom.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah,
you're right. You're right. I'm sorry. You're right. Yeah. So why is this sewn over here? Just to hold it together from the bottom. You're right. I'm sorry. You're right. It holds it together from the bottom. So what does Tosis mean when he says that it's not made out of one piece? Ve'en noagin ken. What does Tosis mean when he says that? I think it still means it's not made out of the same. Yeah, I think it's still not made out of that.
Do you think it's still?
I'm not sure.
You think the cube is still sewn on, even though you open from the bottom?
I think it might be.
You think?
I'm not sure. I'm not certain. But Tosis does say it's made out of two different pieces, whereas Rashi says it's made out of one piece. Okay. So that's the titura, the fact that it has to exist. You can't just have a box. Right? And it continues, the Gemara says, titura de tefillin halacha l'moshe misinai. Amar Abaye, ma'abarta de tefillin halacha l'moshe misinai. Another thing, Abaye's not arguing with Rav, he's adding on another one. The ma'abarta of the tefillin is halacha l'moshe misinai. What's the ma'abarta? So here, there's a little bit of machlokas, but in general, what it means is that this part, the fact that you have to have this section, that the ritzua goes through it, that's what's
talking
about.
That's the ma'abarta. Right.
That's the ma'abarta.
To go through it, yeah.
Ma'avir, exactly.
Ma'abarta.
Right. Shnotin, Rashi says, Shnotin ha-ritzua shal tefillin saviv, oto titura, right? Yachpil ha-klav saviv ha-ritzua, ke'en shalosum lufi ha-mechnasayim, shalot ha-ritzua kovu'a, What's the purpose of Ma'abarta? So that you can move it back and forth. So that it can be moved back and forth. So that it shouldn't be glued in one spot. It should be able to move. That's the idea. It should be able to move back and forth. That's the Ma'abarta. And the hammer.
And why do I want it to be able to move back and forth?
Okay.
That's how you. That's what you say when you want to stop all arguments.
No, that's
right?
What the Gemara says. That's how we know that you have to do it. That's how we know that you have to do it. Next one. Amar Abaye again. Shin shel tefillin halacha l'moshe misinai. What's that?
Yeah, there's a shin that's printed on it.
Good. You have two shins, actually.
Two shins.
And so we're going to get into that. And, is there a difference between the shins?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes, there is. On this side, you have three on the top, right? And on this side, you have four.
Right.
So it's a four-legged shin. I don't know why you call it leg. It's really like the torso.
Four-legged.
The torso. It's one leg on both. Four-headed shin. Okay, we're going to get into why that is. And also, it's interesting that the Gemara doesn't say that. It just says the shin, right? Just says the shin. In order to find out about the shin, so take a look at Tosaf on the left side. The shin, shall tefillin alachal mashmizina, b'shal rosh, airi, v'anot naim ein dino liot posel, denimsa de... No, that's not what I wanted. Sorry, the next one. Shin shall tefillin alachal mashmizina, katav b'shimusha rabba, the tefillin tzura the shin diamina gimel reshe, the right side, that's the meniach, okay? According to the meniach, the right side has three legs, three heads, actually. Three heads. The smola dalid reshe, vi apich leit lanba. But if you switch them, that's okay too. That's cool. As long as we're going to see, I'm blowing it now. But as long as you don't have two fours and or two threes, you have to have a three and a four. That's a lachol mishmisim.
I ask you another dumb question. What's so symbolic about the shin itself?
Well, we will answer that question. But for now, I'm just going to say lachol mishmisim. We will have answers.
As long as you say it's not a midrash.
We will have answers. I mean, we will have an answer.
How do you know it's fine tonight?
It's over here. We will have answers to that question, but for now, it's good enough that it's a lachal moshisinai. V'tzarich she'agia charitz l'makom ha'tefer. You have to have the charitz reach the makom ha'tefer. What's that talking about? So this is the difference between shalrosh and shalyad. What's the difference? I mean, there are a lot of differences. But the shalrosh has four compartments, which means it has three charitzim. The charitzim is the line on the outside, which really just indicates, because it's not like it is that way, but it indicates that there is four separate compartments over here. Okay?
They're actually separated.
Yeah, they are separated. They are separated, and it has to be clear they're separated. And it has to go all the way down. To the bottom. Now, there's some machloket about to be shown about whether it means that the tefer has to reach the bottom, or in some girsot of the Gemara, it means that the shin has to reach the bottom. As you can see, we're machmer for both. The shin reaches the bottom, and the charitzim reach the bottom. Okay? Rav Dimi Mir Hadar Amar, Kevin the Minkar, Lo Tzarich. Rav Dimi said we don't really have to worry about the charitzim because once you can see them on the outside, it doesn't really have to reach the bottom. Okay, interesting. He seems to be arguing with. Actually, it's not a halachah mishmisi. No, it is. No, it's not necessarily a halachah mishmisi. If it was, I don't think he would argue. He basically says that there's a reason for the charitz. The charitz is to reach the bottom, so it's clear to everybody that there's four different compartments. But Rav Dimi says that you don't need that. Once you can see the charitz on the outside, it doesn't matter whether it reaches the bottom or not. Amar Abaye, hay kilfa de tefillin tzarich lemivdekei. The klaf. When you're writing your tefillin, you have to check the klaf beforehand to make sure that there are no holes in the klaf. Why? Because it has to be a ktiva tama, which means that there can't be any holes in the letters of your writing. Mm-hmm. And chas v'shalom, if you wrote on a klaf that had holes in it, then it could be that there's holes in your letter. So immediately...
If I check my tefillin and I find that there's a hole in the klaf, that the hole doesn't go across a letter, that doesn't void the klaf?
No.
Okay.
Well, Rav Dimi Narda Amar, Lo Tzarech Komusa Badikla. Rav Dimi Narda, again, Rav Dimi is the makel, right? Rav Dimi, the experienced sofer, says, you don't have to worry about this, because if you wrote over a hole, you would notice. Your quill would go through the paper, would go through the klaf. Which indicates, as the Rachona points out, that if the hole is so small that the quill would not go through it, then we don't worry about that. In other words, the quill checks the klaf. That's what he literally just said. Kulmusa badikla. The kulmus checks the klaf. Here's what I was wondering. And I don't remember if I saw something about this or not. I couldn't find it quickly. What if you're writing a samech? And the hole is in the middle.
Hole is in the middle of the circle.
That's what I was wondering about. I don't know what the halakha is for that.
Sounds like that's it would not be okay. That's not otherwise, we would be checking the letter, right? If
I say that
yeah, check the letter, then that means that
I know. I agree with you, but I would have expected that would be a problem.
And that's not the only letter. There are other letters.
Apparently, that's not part of the samach. Apparently, the donut hole is not part of the donut.
Bichlal, a hole can always become bigger. I mean, that's strange that they have.
Yeah.
But it should be permitted.
Yeah, but you could always, any hole can develop anywhere. Here we're concerned, apparently, that there will be ink that papers over the hole. That's what Abaye was worried about. Abaye was worried, you know, maybe you're writing on a flat surface, and you just keep going over it, and maybe some ink stretches in between, and then you don't see the hole afterwards. Mm-hmm. So Rav Dimi says you don't have to worry about that, because you'll feel it while you're writing. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Ritzuot, oh, this is the best part. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Ritzuot Shcharot Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai, right? Black Ritzuot, everybody knows it has to be black, right? Meitivei, what kind of question is Meitivei?
Higher source.
Higher source, oh boy. Meitivei on this. Meitivei, Tfilin Ein Koshnotan Ela B'Minan, Ben Yerukot, Ben Shcharot, Ben Levanot, Adumot, Ben Levanot, Adumot Lo Yasa, Vibne Gnai, V'Davar Acher. So it says here that you can make ritzuot, as long as you make them out of leather, then you can make them green. Green is probably not green, it's probably yellow. Yerok in the Gemara is probably yellow or yellowish. Or black, or white. You just can't make them red. Why can't you make them red?
It reminds you of the paradoma.
good guess, but no. That's not what I learned. Lo yaseh mimnei gnai. Number one, it might not be nice, because red is just not a nice color. It's not a tzanua color. But also, davar acher. What does davar acher usually mean? So davar acher usually means something unpalatable, something you don't want to say. So sometimes it means pig. It's not what it means here. Here, Rashi says what it means is, Shema yomro ishto nida baal v'nitzbu v'da. Okay, but these blood... This blood, you're concerned that it's menstrual blood. Because maybe you were wearing tefillin and then you were with your wife. And
oh my goodness.
I find this very strange. Like, it could have just been any blood. No?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe the idea is that someone's going to see you wearing them, they're going to see blood, and their mind is going to go there. Don't know.
I
thought it was good enough for it just to be blood.
But maybe a nosebleed or something.
Fine. That's what whatever acher is.
Okay.
Fine. Amar Yehud. Okay, so this is the Meitivei. This is bad enough. But the Gemara continues now. Now, for this part, I wish the art school had commented on it, or I could find some commentary on the Gemara amongst the Rishonim Achronim. I couldn't find anything. But I assume that you guys will be as surprised to read these lines as I am. Amar Yehud, Ma'aseh b'Talmido Shel Rabbi Akiva. It's a story about the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Shehaya Kosher Tfilav Bilshonot Shel Tchelet. His Talmidim wore tefillin with blue tchelet, made out of wool.
Where was this tchelet?
The ritzuot were dyed like tzitzis. Were dyed pieces of wool attached to the batim. V'lo amar lo davar, and Rabbi Kiva didn't say anything about it. Efsho to tzadik ra tamido v'lo michabo. Must be that if he didn't say anything about it, then
it's okay.
It must be it's okay. Amar lo. Hein lo ra'oto, v'im ra'oto lo yaminicho. No, Rabbi Kiva simply didn't see his Talmud, but if he had seen him, he would have protested. All right, fine, a Talmud.
Maybe he was speechless.
Fine, a Talmud. Ma'ase b'hurkanus, b'no shel Rabbi Eliezer b'hurkanus, shayakosha tefilah b'lshono shel argaman. He was doing it with argaman, with purple or some royal color. V'lo amelo davar. Efshor to tzadik rabino v'lo michabo. Amelo hen. Lo ra'oto v'ra'oto lo yaminicho. This is just... Rabbi Lezer ben Hyrcanus' son, he named Hyrcanus because that was the minhag, wore tefillin, presumably after bar mitzvah, with purple ritzuot. With non-leather purple straps. And his father didn't notice.
Right.
Us.
And no one says anything.
Where did he get them?
He made them.
His father didn't buy them for him.
He must have made them. That would be cool. Now, look, I'm imagining. My wife sent me a picture a few weeks ago of my son wearing tefillin that he made out of.
Can you make this out of? I don't know what you made. I couldn't figure it out from the picture.
I couldn't figure it out from the picture either.
Cardboard?
No, the box was like a block. And then he had some black string. I don't know that he. I think it was a string. I don't know what he made it out of. Now, okay, fine. He's 12, so that's fine. Presumably,
and he wasn't wearing them as tefillin.
Right, he knew what he was doing.
He was playing with them.
Right. I mean, this is amazing. But okay, nobody says anything. Agav, by the way, Rabbi Lezer ben Hyrcanus. Rabbi Lezer ben Hyrcanus is a famous figure. He's the author of the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. Well, not the author, but it's named after him. He's the one who his father wasn't from, and he came to Torah. He's like, you know, before Rabbi Akiva. He came to Torah as a very young age, went to yeshiva, and he was willing to eat dirt and it. And now his son is just confusing. It's confusing to me. Different chinuch practices, I guess. No helicopter parenting. Either way, be that as it may, we can't bring any proof from Rabbi Kiva or Rabbi Lezer ben Hyrcanus. However, Katani Mia ben Yerukot ben Shchoros ben Levanot, it says that they can be green, yellowish, or white. Kasha, kan mi bifnin. No, the difference is which side of the Ritzua that you're talking about. You have the Ritzua, the outside of the Ritzua, right? Which is the outside of the cow. And then the inside, which is the inside. And that can be any color. It could be white. It could be green. It could be yellow, which can't be red. And this part has to be black. There's a practice nowadays to try to get filling with both sides black. From what I've heard, the poskim don't like this practice.
No.
They don't like it. They don't like it because then you're confused about which side it is that you're looking at.
Really?
Yeah. We'll see maybe why they do that in a second.
I have it now on my new tefillin.
You do?
Absolutely.
I know that there was a big push for it.
Also if you have a skin...
right, yeah. So that I've heard.
But there is really a difference.
What, you can feel the difference?
There is a difference.
Absolutely.
I'll
show
you. Oh, I'm sure you can feel the difference because this is rough and this is...
Absolutely.
No, but actually, you're right. They say the more the ones with the white that are.
I've never seen white. You've seen white?
No, not white. I mean,
not black.
Yes,
natural.
Yeah, yeah. Light.
So the Gemara says, "Imi bifnim, my gnai." But wait, if it's gnai bifnim, who cares if they're red? What's the big deal? The davar acher. Ikazim the mitapchin. Oh, because sometimes it turns around. And then people will see it. Tana, tefillin mirubot, alach al-moshe misena. Here's another one. The tefillin have to be square. We're going to see exactly what that means, but for now we'll just say it has to be mirubah, it has to be square. Amar of Papa, betafran uba alak sonan. It has to be square in the length, like over here, and alak son, it has to be square in dimension. In other words, it needs to be a cube. It has to be a cube.
Yeah.
Okay? It has to be a cube. Get back to that soon. Lema misayele. The proof for this seems to be ha'oset tefilato agula sakana vein ba'mitzvah. If you make your tefillin rounded, then it's dangerous, and you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. Okay, now how is it dangerous?
Okay.
So which part of the tefillin are we talking about? So the answer is that it seems to be talking about the bottom part of the tefillin. Okay. Amar Papa Matin Davida Ki Amguza. Papa says no. That's talking about where you make it like a nut, so that it's actually sharpened.
Oh, like
and so what will happen if you run into a wall? Then it will go into your head. That's dangerous. You shouldn't do that. So that it has to be. So that's a different reason. It has to be square.
That's a kotel.
Halacha Moshe Sinai. It anyways has to be square. Amar Avuna Tefillin Kol Zman Shepnei Tavla. Let me run through this part. Kol Zman Shepnei Tavla Kayemet Ksheirot. Because I want to get to the next part. As long as the outside is complete, everything is fine. We don't really care what it looks like on the inside in terms of the compartment walls. Rav Chisda Amar Nifsegu Shtayim Kisheirot Shalosh Psulot. Rav Chisda disagrees. He says, if two walls are if there's a tear in the inside compartment between two walls, that's fine. But three is not fine. Rava says it's only fine to have two rips and two walls as long as they're not conjoining. In other words, it's okay if you have a rip between the outside one and the inner, and the other outside one and the inner. But if they're between two, then that's not going to be okay. The second thing is that Nami Lo Amran Ela B'Chadita. When is that a problem? Only when it's new. Avabatikata Leit Lanba. When is a problem for them to be a rip? Only when they're old, because it means that the problem isn't the rip. The problem is that it's a bad quality. The rip is actually just a gilui. It's a gilui of the fact that the quality of the leather is bad. That's the problem with the tefillin. The rip is not the problem with the tefillin. The quality is the problem with the tefillin. How do you know if something is new or old? How do you, at what point did something become new or old? This is going to be meaningless to us nowadays. If you could pull it apart and it will come back together, then that means it's new. If we pull it apart and it will, it means it's old. Sorry, ve'ida chadita. But if you pull it apart and it stays apart, and it hold on, it means and it then that's considered new. Now you have the opposite. Ve'inami kolechi, not the opposite quite, but kolechi kechi di chimatli be'bavmatna atya abatrei chadita ve'ida chadikata. If you have two people playing tug of war with the tefillin, and they pull it, so if the straps will come towards you, right, as you're doing it, it's not clear exactly what this means in our modern-day tefillin, they're made in a different way, then that's considered new, and any other tefillin is considered old. I don't want to go too deeply into this, because it's not going to be so relevant for us.
So old is not determined by age, it's determined by
Plied
how
by
they wear, react by
the wear and tear, perhaps?
Yeah, pretty much. Can someone pour me some fused tea, please? Thank you. Okay. Abaye, next one. Abaye Aviyatev Kamedir of Yosef. This is going to be very, very important. Abaye Aviyatev Kamedir of Yosef. If Sikle Ritsua, Abaye was sitting in front of Yosef. Rav Yosef was kind of his adoptive father and also his Rebbe. And in the middle of something, his Ritsua ripped. Okay? Presume for now that this is talking about his Ritsu'ah from his Shagosh. Presume for now.
Ripped through and through, or just had
it ripped.
Slight
no, it ripped. It tore. It tore. Amalei ma'ula miktarei. Can I tie them back together? Right? Can I tie them back together? Amalei ukshartem k'tiv shetek shira tamah. No, you cannot. There can only be one k'shira, and the only one k'shira is this k'shira over here.
Kesher.
This kesher, this is the only knot you can have on your tefillin. If you have any other knots on your tefillin, it's puzzle. So you can't. Amalei Ravacha Breder of Yosef Ravashi Ma'o Lemitferei Va'ailei Litfira. What about not tying it back together, but rather sewing it back together in such a way that you basically you sew it back together like this. And then this gets bent inwards so that you can't see even from the outside that it was sewn together. You get it?
Mm-hmm.
You sew it together. So you don't have to tie it together. What does that mean?
What the people do. What the people say.
Good. Puk, pei kuf, is the root of the verb in Aramaic for to go out. Afikoman, tepukle, puk, afka, all those. Puk, chazi, chazi means to see, right? Chazi means to see, like Jose or Chazon, mai ama davar, what the nation says. That's another way of saying, go see, what do people do? What do people commonly do when they're too old? Rip. Now, what do we do? So, what do people do?
Well, probably we replace
it. I've never seen rip
Yeah. So what are people doing?
I've never seen torn ritzuot before.
You wouldn't.
Oh, maybe I didn't notice because somebody sewed it. Is that
either because
saying?
They don't do that, or because they do that.
But we previously also talked about if somebody took a shel rosh and used it on the hand, that could also only be done with some kind of iltur.
No, that was with the bayit. That was with the bayit.
Yeah,
no,
but you said if somebody used it at
Shiyat. Yeah, no, but I mean, you could transform this into that.
How can it be ripped? That I can't understand.
What do you mean?
They can be.
Why not?
Especially
if they wore
them
more often than we do.
Yeah.
If you wore them all day. It happens.
And then
it could happen. And I don't know how well, if they were as strong as ours were.
Mm-hmm. So what do you do?
The response exactly. There's a pasuk that says Tama.
Yeah.
Right?
No. No. It says Ukshartem.
No. Yeah, Ukshartem, yeah. So, and this guy says, is going to sewing it up is good? I don't know, go check
it's
it
not
out.
Not a knot. Right, so no. So the conclusion is, go into the street and find out what's the minhag. Now, how does that help us, right? What do?
It's pretty good. If I could ask you something and you could say, well, go out and see what people are doing, that's a great rav.
You're right.
That's the best rav. Yeah.
Is this kosher?
Go no,
see,
no, no,
so, see if everybody else so eats a cheeseburger.
I don't know how much time we're going to have, so I just want you to direct your eyes to the
here
top.
Here they have the principle of velo velo amal davar.
I don't,
you can go out and see if somebody says something.
Take a look at the top right. Take a look at the top right on Tosfos. Puk chazim ha'am adavar, perish bukuntrus. Rashi says, lahachmir. Rabbeinu tam efarish, lahakel. Can't they get along? Right?
So grandfather and grandson,
you would think.
Yes.
Rashi says, puk my chazim ha'am adavar, they don't do it. Rabbeinu tam says, no, it means that they do it. Ki hayit berkam adarev and gabi hilmeyu lachayit, whatever. So they each have their own pshita. Maybe if we have time later, we'll see halacha l'maisa what you should do if this happens. Excuse me. Okay, so Amar Papa, going off of this last thing, gardume rutsuot ksherot. What's gardume? It means the stubs. Gardum is stub, right? A stump. So what does that mean? Gardume rutsuot means. After these go through here, right? So there's a certain length that you're going to have to be, right? Whatever that length is, which we're about to see, imagine that basically right after that length, it got cut. And then that was it. Mm. So now what happens with
after
that?
After that length, it got cut.
Mm. Right.
Which means they are the required length.
Right.
Okay.
Good number two. Kshirot. V'lav mildihi midami b'nei Rabbi Chiya gardumi tchelev v'gardumi ezov ksherin. But what it means is, that originally they were longer, and then they got cut.
But when I buy these tefillin, the sofer who sells me them cuts them to size. I mean, these were probably...
But probably before they attached.
These were probably 2 meters long, three meters long.
And I assume before they were attached.
And then they cut it.
I assume before they were attached and were actually used, considered part of the tefillin. I don't think he cut that after he tied anything.
No?
No.
The standard length, yeah. I think.
So...
it depends on the length of your body.
So what happens if they do get cut, and then now you have your same tefillin, it has the required length, but it's cut. So what do you do? So the Gemara first says, it's totally kasher. But then, and this is one of the strangest proofs that I've seen, because it works backwards from the way things usually work. Rav Chiya says, no, gardume tchelet v'gardume ezov ksherin. We know, Rav Chiya is telling us that if you have, what happens if you have tzitzit? And the tzitzit get cut. But there's still the required length. Kasher or pasul?
On purpose or by accident?
Kasher, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter?
100% kasher, right? So Rav Chiya says, based on that, he says, so he says the only source he has here is that the tzitzit will be kosher if you cut them, and based on that he says, but tefillin won't, because tefillin are tashmishi kedusha and tzitzit are tashmishi mitzvah. Now the Braita doesn't say anything about tefillin. It could be that they're both okay.
Are tefillin not tashmishei mitzvah?
No, they're tashmishei kedusha. It's a higher level.
It's a
higher level. It's a higher level. It's like a sefer Torah. They're tashmishei kedusha.
Okay.
Like you don't fast if you drop your tzitzit on the floor.
That's right. That's why you don't have to put tzitzit in geniza. You have to put tefillin in geniza. You throw tzitzit in the regular garbage. So, but this is his proof. His proof is that if tzitzit, it's okay to cut them, but not tefillin. Okay? It's just a strange leap of logic there that I'm not used to seeing in Gemara. But that's what he says. So, and that's the end of the Gemara over there. But in the end, really, the halacha is it would seem that that the Gardume Tchela, the Gardume Tvitzuot, do seem to be kasher. Although we'll get back to this later. Michlal, this whole argument though assumes that there is a shiur. Michlal deit le shiura. V'kami shiuraya. So what is the shiur? Amar Rami Bar Chama, Amar Reish Lakish, ad etzba tzreda, up to your index finger. What does that mean? So Rav Kahana mechvi kafuf, Rav Ashi mechvi pashut. So this is a general, universal comment about shiurim. When something says ad etzba tzreda, it means the length between your fingers, between the index finger and the next finger, right? So this would be the length, or this. That's basically it. It's either this or this. Okay? That's how long it has to be
how long it
after
has to
the
be.
Knot. That's really how long it is.
The length has to be beyond
the
knot.
Yeah, it's very short.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very short. Rabba. Okay, so good. So that's it. Now, Rabba katalahu upashit. Upashit. Rabba. Sorry. Rabba. There we go. Yeah. Rabba, the way that he would wear tefillin is he would put the tefillin on, the shalosh, and then he would throw the straps behind him. That's how he would walk around with tefillin. That's how he wears tefillin. Rabba. Where did I go? Rabba katilu pashit v'shadilu. Rav Acha bar Yaakov katilu umatilu. Rav Acha bar Yaakov used to braid them together. Because they were so long, he would braid them together. My bray de ravna, avid kididan. He did like we do. Was like we do. Rashi, the Tosa says, to push it v'shadi lo aktefab milafanav. He would put it in the front. Just think it's interesting that the Gemara was able to say, you know, that we have a current practice and that we still have Amarayim who used to do it a different way. Which means that it doesn't really matter so much the way that you do it. Okay, just a little bit more. Amar Yehuda Breider of Shmuel Bar Nashilat Mishmei Derav Kesher Shel Tefillin Halacha LaMoshe MiSinai. The Kesher itself is Halacha LaMoshe MiSinai that you have to have a Kesher. Now, the reason why I say that is because there are different ways. You can either do it with a
shape of a dalid,
missing, yeah, the shape of the dalid, or with the box, which is what my father and I have. The square knot or the right angle. Amar of Nachman, v'noyeyen lebar. You have to have the nice part of the knot facing outwards. Okay? Rav Ashi aviyatu kamei de marzutra itapche le ritzua de tefillin. Amar le lo savar lamar v'noyeyen lebar. Amar le lavadate. So one time, Rav Ashi was walking and his tefillin, the ritzuot, got spun around. They were facing the wrong direction. And he got corrected by Marzutra. And Marzutra said, don't you know you have to have it the right way? And Rav Ashi said, oh, I didn't notice. And then he fixed it. Now, what seems to be going on over there is that it's not so bad that these should be flipped, but that if these are flipped, then it might indicate that this was flipped. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. The problem is not the Ritzuot themselves. The problem is the knot. That the knot might be backwards. Now, last part. This is a pasuk. Excuse me, in Dvarim, that the Breita famously says, "Tanya Belazar Gadol, Omer Elu Tefillin Shabarosh." When the Torah says, "Ra'u Kom Le'aretz Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha," that all of the non-Jewish nations are going to see that Hashem is written on you. Rav Elazar Gadol says that is your Tefillin Shalosh. That's what they're going to see, and then they're going to be afraid of you. Vasiroti at kapi, v'ra'ita et acharai. Who did Hashem say that to?
Moshe.
To Moshe Rabbeinu. And what does the Chazal say about this? Both here and in Brachos, Amar Rav Chana ben Brizna, Amar Rav Shimon Chasida, Melamed Shehera Lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Kesher Shel Tefillin. Means Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu the knot of the tefillin on the back of his head.
And yet we have two gears sort of what the knot should look like.
Yeah. So, now, obviously, not obviously, but it would seem that this is a metaphor or something, which we're going to have to, if we have time, investigate. But it seems to be saying that Hashem wears tefillin, which the Gemara elaborates. The Gemara in Brachos elaborates on what it says in Hashem's tefillin. It's not over here. Mm. And then Hashem showed him the knot on the back of his tefillin, which is interesting. Right. Okay, we'll stop there in the Gemara. Very good, very good, very good. Good stuff?
Very
okay, so let's go to the sheets. Okay. And we will start at the beginning.
Please.
Yeah.
A very good place.
So we were talking about the shin.
The very beginning.
Yeah? We'll talk about the shin. So take a look at the Beit Yosef, or Yosef Kaur has to say about the shin, the two shins on the tefillin. Mashgatav Nimuki Yosef, the shin shall tzad yamini shall arba roshim, shall small shall shlosha roshim, tzarech lomar, the yamin u'smol, the korei kamar. We're talking about the yamin u'smol, shall ha korei. Now, is he right? So, what did he say? That the...
Who is the korei?
The korei is the one looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's what we have. That's what we have. If you're looking at it, then on the right side is the four-headed shin, and on the left side is the three-headed shin. וזה לא שם סמג, אמר הבעיה, שין של תפילן הלך למשמיסינה, יעשה מימין הקורא, וכמת אור דפוס הבית שין, וכן מכאן ומכאן, דימין התלת רשי, ושמאל ארבע רשי. There's some machlokes, by the way, about whether this is supposed to be indented, or whether there's supposed to be some kind of tfus. Exactly how you're supposed to create this shin, there's some debate about it.
It's indented or embossed.
Right. Perush שני יודין, יעשה בתוכה. So now this is the first shita. First shita is that you're going to make two yuds inside. I'm not exactly sure what this means. I was trying to figure it out for a while.
The top of the shin?
The
four heads of the shin, two of them like represent yud. Like a yud.
But they all do. Four of them look like yuds except for the one on the left.
Uh-huh. It's hard for me to figure it out. The shin of the shin are the same on film?
I was wondering the same thing. Mm-hmm. Of this shin, on this
You mean, does it look the same?
These three look like a yud.
Yeah. It doesn't.
Or the same?
In the Sefer Torah, they're not the same. I don't know.
On a three-headed shin, two of them look like a yud.
Is that what it is? I was wondering if that was what
on
it was.
On the four-headed shin,
the
one
right
on the far left does not look like a yud.
The one on the far left definitely doesn't, but what about the one on the right?
Well,
it also doesn't look quite like a yud?
It does. So they all look like a yud except for the one on the far left.
So according to one, the Shimusha Rabbah says that's what you want. You want two yuds. Why do you want two yuds?
His name is Hashem.
Shem Hashem. That's Shem Hashem. So you add another one so that you can at least have one Shem Hashem inside of the on the outside of the tefillin. The katu b'sefer etfus. Some write alzeh v'ani anagdan uman. So this is I think the sefer etfus is the name of the sefer. Who is obviously a sofer, and says, Nagdan Uman, Lasot Filin, Kashe Beini Pershze, Shoshne Yudin, Lefiat Tam, Shamati, Oshne Shinim, Metlat Reshe, Maharba Reshe, Shukineged Shnek Tibot, Shiesh Lanu Ktav Aluchot, Ktav Sefer Torah. He has a different shita. He says that the two Shinin are actually Kineged, the Shins as they were written on the Sefer Torah versus how they're written on the Luchot. Ktav Aluchot, Hayaktiva Shokaat, Shneamar Harut al Luchot. It was right. It was carved,
engraved. Yes.
Harei shekol haotiyot hayu min haavir. Nimtza sheyesh l'shin arba dfanot l'shalosh avirot. He shin la'arba roshin shel kematim. Nasa shin mishalosh avirot. So he wants to say that when the shin appeared inside the luchot, what did it look like? So if you look at it, so you have basically four edges, right? Right.
Like you have to the fingers.
Right. Exactly. So, in other words, it's the outside of the shin. It's the outside of the shin that's on the luchot, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, in other words, the shin on this side is not what you see. It's what's in between.
Oh,
what you
for
see.
Goodness sakes! Uh-huh. Wow, I get it.
Right.
That is hilarious.
That's what it is.
Wow.
Whereas the shin on this side
is
a regular shin.
Yeah.
And where did he get this from?
That's what he says the Masorah is.
So,
Vashnia Aktiva Boletet, he Ktav Sefer Torah. Shekatvo Moshe, Shehu Bolet Ala Klaf. That's regular. The Fichach Shin Shal Arba Roshin Kenegat Shin Shal Kodesh, he Rishon Ala Batim, Kmoshe Ktav Aluchot Kadam, Lechtav Sefer Torah, Vood, Shu Ktav Abore, Ra'uli Yot Rishon. That's why he says that this one's on the right, this one's on the left, because if you're looking at it, so the right side is, you know, the way that you read. So this one should be on the right, and that should be on the left. Because the right side is the one that you see first, and the left one is the one that you see afterwards. So it goes Luchot, and then the Sefer Torah. Now the last shot he brings is Katavri Alexandrizal. You're gonna love this one. Hatam Rachel Meshin Shel Tefillin Bibnei Sheshem Havaya Beatbash Ole Shin. Quick, before looking anymore. What's Shem Havaya Beatbash?
Yud K Vav K.
Quick.
Havaya.
Shem Havaya. Beatbash. Yud K Vav K Beatbash.
Atbash.
I'm gonna open this.
Aleph to Ted.
There's no Aleph. All right, took too long. It's Matzpatz. Matzpatz. Mem Tzadik Pei Tzadik. So someone do the math.
That's right.
Tzadik Tzadik is 180, right? Plus a Pei, which gets you to 260. Plus a Mem, which gets you to
300.
Shin. Now it doesn't tell you why the 4 and the 3, but it tells you why you have a Shin on there. All you can see on the outside, because think about it, somebody sees you wearing this, they have no idea what it is, and they don't know what it represents, and they don't know what's inside the box. In fact, as my father pointed out, you want to tell the airport story?
When I went through security once?
He went through security one time.
It was on Air India, actually, and he looked at this and he says, how do I open this? I said, no, you don't open it. He says, well, what is it? I said, it's a religious object. I wear it when I pray. I said, you know what? I saw one of these once before, I think.
He wanted to open it. So he doesn't know what it is. So you show him the shin.
These stories better than
you show him the shin, and then they know that's Shem Hashem.
There's an explanation to that.
There you go.
Ah, cool.
Now, if you want to see the Shulchan Aruch, we saw the Beit Yosef, now we saw the Shulchan Aruch. Shin Shel Tefillin, Alach Lomash Misinai, Shiasa, Bo'or Abatim Shel Rosh, Kimin Shin Boletet Mekamate Aor, Echa Mimano, Echa Mismalo, Shel Yemin HaMiniach, Shel Gimel Roshim, Shel Smal HaMiniach, Shel Arba Roshim. I don't know why he switched. It's interesting that in the Beit Yosef, he talks from the perspective of the Koreg, and in the Shulchan Aruch, he talks from the perspective of the Miniach. I don't know why. The Ramah says, Miuim Hipeich, Eino Nifsal. If you switch, no big deal. And the Mishavur says, Avalim Asa, Bishnei Tzadah, Demark Shin, Shel Shlosh HaRoshim, Or Abav Arba, Pasul, Bekosh Kenim Chisar, The Gamri Shin Echad. The Halach Lamosh Misina extends to both, that you have to have a shin on both sides, and that you have to have two different ones. Okay. All right. Next, sugya. Okay? We talked about how it has to be a ribuah, that the tefillin has to be square, right? Now, nowadays, making it square, is a lot easier than it was back in the day. Mm-hmm. But even nowadays, is it perfectly square? Perfectly square? Is anybody checking if it's perfectly square? Everything, the dimensions?
Perfectly
square. I would imagine that these tefillin are made, if they are mass-produced, for example, if the batim
They're not manufactured.
It's all done.
Yeah, but sure, there's a mold.
They have from Beit
There's a mold, yes, okay.
You can follow the whole process.
Right, but it's made by people.
It's made by people, but they're helped by devices.
Yeah, I'm sure. But keep in mind, they couldn't have done that in the past.
I think it's easier today to make them perfectly square than it was.
But even now, is it perfectly square? You know, I noticed that you got a little bit of rub on the side.
Yes.
Which I actually switched my tefillin recently because Moshe Boaz said that it was too much. So I switched my batim. I just got my batim replaced because he said that it was getting too rounded on the edges.
Oh, yeah.
So I got them replaced. I don't know whether this is okay or not. I have no idea.
I got it in an airplane once, but it dropped onto the seatbelt buckle.
It happens to the Shalosh because you bang into the wall.
Yes.
I went to a software in Monsi with my brother-in-law, and he was so happy to see my tefillin. My tefillin had the parchment in it of Svardim inside.
Oh, he liked that.
And he liked that. And he said, you don't need to change it all. I'll just paint your boxes for you, your straps, and that's it.
Good. So Rav Moshe addresses this kind of in an offhand part of a longer, very important tshuva. The other important tshuva that he's actually talking about is, as far as I remember, I want to make sure, I'm pretty sure it was an electrocardiogram, right, which measures the heart, right? EKG, mm-hmm. touch the heart. So he's talking there about whether or not you have to do EKG to determine if somebody is dead or not. And he says, on the one end, somebody wrote to him saying, no, you don't have to do EKG because they never used to have EKGs. So, you know, EKG measures the heart pulse.
Electrical charges in the heart.
So, let's say you wanted to do something with a dead body. I don't know what it is you want to do. Maybe harvest organs or something like that. So do you have to determine they're dead based on EKG before you do anything? And the person writing to him said, you shouldn't have to, because after all, it's like a microscope, right? You know, you don't use a microscope to evaluate things in halacha. If a bug is so small that you need a microscope to be able to see it, then it's not relevant in halacha, which we do hold that way. We've talked about this a little bit in terms of cloning and everything, and making cultured meat. We talked about all of that, but that was right. And Rashi acknowledged that that's true. But he says, but that has nothing to do with this. That has nothing to do with this, because the electrocardiogram, that's going to determine whether the person's alive or not. If you have a way of determining if the person's alive, then you should use that instead of just assuming that they're dead. You know, those are totally different things. Because with regards to, and we talked about this, with regards to whether or not you would use a microscope to determine if there's a bug, when we say you don't use a microscope, that's not because what the microscope sees is irrelevant or doesn't exist. It's because any bug that needs to be seen by a microscope is not a bug. But you wouldn't say that life signs that you need an EKG to be able to see them are not life signs. The person could come back to life. His heart is beating. He could just come back any second now. He could come back to life. You can't say that he's dead so he says that. Now, in that context, he also talks about how you don't need to use a microscope to judge tefillin. And that's what he's talking about right here. Agav, echtov, asher v'inin, bididat ribua shel tefillin, gam below ze lo shayach lahatrik microscope. You don't even use a microscope to check tefillin.
So if it looks like a cube to my naked eye?
Yes. Da ribu ita, da'inu shiya ribuan mechuvan arko kerachbo, k'dei she'e lehem oto alakson, shamu chazal, kol amta beribua, amta v'trei chum she'e balakson. And he says the problem also with this is that Chazal, or the Rishonim, gave an actual measurement for how long, it's basically a Pythagorean theorem, for how long the diagonal is supposed to be for a cube. It's a little bit Pythagorean theorem plus a little bit of more geometry. And it's supposed to be basically 1.4 the length of the one. And basically, it's not perfect. That's the point. The measurement that they gave is not perfect. It was as good as they could give at the time, but it's not perfect. And so that's just further proof that it doesn't have to be perfect, because the measurement that they used wasn't perfect. They told you, make sure it's this long, but that's wrong. It's not supposed to be that long. It's supposed to be some fraction of that.
Did they give that length because that's as precise as they could measure at the time?
Either that or because they were rounding. Like we say, there's a measurement of pi in Tosos and Sukkah. We presume that it's rounded. It's rounded. It's nothing that we really thought it was that. It doesn't have to be perfect. And the last line, or the second last line, he says, even if, you know, objectively speaking, it's not square. Upela mashakas of Kvod Torato, Hagriz Halevi, Ayasavur Shiesh Malak Shim, the Du Rabua Tetfilin. The Brisker Rav said that it's better to check with a microscope. Okay, these briskers, right? Brisker Rav held that you should check it with a microscope if you can. Okay, now I wanted to get to the other sugya that I really wanted to see.
I'm not sure how you measure with a microscope. All right.
You measure? What do you mean? You can see how long it is.
Yeah. You enlarge.
If you have a measuring implement, then you could look at exactly where it got up to a higher precision.
Yeah. might be easier to, all right, today I might say measure with a laser or with a... Or something
like that. Okay. Now, getting to this ripped ritzua business, okay? What does it mean for the ritzua to be ripped? So, the Rush writes as follows.
It works out.
What works out? Ripped, very good. Mairi benivsika haritsua amakefet harosh vahazroa. So the ritsua amakefet harosh vahazroa. Tahatam beinang shiratama. Shelo yu shama shnek sharim. Aval ritsua tatluyat lamata lo shaykh buk shira. So the Rush says, what are we talking about? We're talking about if there's a rip, where? And now, Pinchas, you can understand how this might happen. There's a rip here. Okay? Because it got stretched over time, and eventually it wore out, it got ripped. But not a rip here. A rip here, I don't care about. No, the Rush says, I don't care about a rip here. I only care about a rip here.
Would you be more concerned about a rip by the Zohar instead of the Rosh?
Also, the same thing for the Shalyad. Same thing for the Shalyad. Same thing for the Shalyad. That's where you care about it being ripped. But after the kshira, after the actual kesher, I don't care about that anymore. It can be ripped there, it's fine. And then it can be ripped there, and then you still need the length, so you could tie it in order to get the length.
I was wondering, what is considered ripped? Torn? Mamash,
Torn, so that you have to retie stretched. It. Torn, so that you have to retie it. That's his point. Only the part before the kesher, because you can't have two ksharim.
And am I correct that in tzitzit as well, if I have a tear above the kesher, if I have a tear up here, right here, then it's possible. But if I have a tear down there,
that's right,
it's not a big deal.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, and he says, "Shnemar
akshatim." In fact, if you don't mind, in the what do you call that? In the Chevra Kadisha, when they bury someone in his talus,
they make it possible.
They make it possible by cutting it up here.
Uh-huh.
They wrap it in his talus, but they cut
one of
up
them?
Here. One of them. Just one string.
Shnemar akshatim liot al yitcha, vayu l'tatuvot b'ninecha dafka al yad v'al harosh u'dechtiv bakshira. It's supposed to be the part that basically touches your head or that touches your arm. That's what we're concerned with. That's Shita Tarush. Who disagrees? Now, I could have brought the Rambam. The problem is that the Rambam doesn't say. The Rambam just basically records the Gemara. It doesn't say one way or another. Most presume that he holds like the Sefer Truma that we're about to see. The Sefer Truma, I'm just going to read the last part. The Sefer Truma says, V'im nifzaga ha-ritzua u'ptucha mi-kishir Ain takana lo lekosher v'lo letofra v'yizar b'hanachatan shaliyah afku haritzua ta'amarav v'neibar. Basically, the Sefer Truma says that if it's ripped anywhere before the shiur, it's pasul, which means even after the kesher.
And the shiur is just that long?
No, that's between
between these or these, yeah.
That's the whole shiur?
Yeah, it's not very big.
I had heard differently. Okay.
What did you hear?
I heard it has to be. So why is it? Why doesn't everybody have just this much of a fill-in strap hanging down?
You're right. We're going to see that that's not what people... You're right. We're going to see... the Shulchan Aruch is going to talk about how long it normally is. Yeah. The Shulchan Aruch is going to tell us about that soon. Actually, in fact... We presume for now that that there's a difference between the Shulchan Aruch and the Shalyad. If you look in the Sefer Truma at the top, he quotes. Look at the top. V'shimush Rabba Rav Avasav hevi orcha deritzua diyamina antibora, which means onto your navel, uritzua lechazia the smola or bedara ad etzbat sreda. That you only need a little bit. V'yumishulashin betlat zimnin. Okay, you know, we're not going to go into the whole thing. But
the difference between the right and the left?
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's the right and left. Okay, now, so that's the Sefer Truma. Now, take a look at the Truma Tadeshan on the bottom. Now, I have to always sing the praises of the Truma Tadeshan. Truma Tadeshan, Rav Yisrael Isserlein, he wrote 354 Tshuvas, that's why it's Tadeshan. And I think he is one of the most successful halachists in history. In the sense that I've been going through the tshuvas, and nearly every single tshuva that he wrote makes it into the Shulchan Aruch as halacha. You know, we like to say that the Shulchan Aruch is a compilation of the Rosh, the Rif, and the Rambam. You can throw the Truma Tadeshan, at least for the Ramah. Really, it's the Ramah who's usually quoting him because he's an Ashkenazi posek. Sometimes the Shulchan Aruch quotes him as well. But almost everything he writes wins. Now, part of that is because he's recording the final conclusion by the time it gets to him. So that's going to carry on. But take a look at the Truma Tadeshan. This Truma is directly about this. He's talking exactly about this, about what happens if you have a rip in your tefillin after the knot. He's going to connect these two things. Remember, the Gemara talks about what happens if you have a rip. Can you retie it? What happens if you have a rip?
Can you sew it up?
Can you sew it? Thank you. Can you sew it? And then there's the other question of what happens if you have a rip. Can you tie it? So he says, "Vine mashma b'hedya v'zivra truma midvar of the iser kshira utfira kainami achutz l'kshira b'roshu b'yad." He seems to think that the Sefer Chumah is assuming that you cannot even, actually the Sefer Chumah says this, you can't even sew, this is Shitas Rashi, you can't even sew after the Kshira. Right? Kol Shir Ha'orech Shepirshu Ha'gonim B'shal Yadav B'shal Rosh V'lo Ka'arosh Efes. Not like the Rosh. So we have this Machlokas that we've already outlined. The Rosh says the rip is only a problem before the Kesher, and according to the Sefer Chumah it's a problem even after the Kesher. So he says, it sounds like we don't have a problem as long as the shel yad, and now he says over here, as long as it gets to into the etzba. Now here he means by etzba, he means it gets all the way to your hand. That means this entire thing, below kricha, meaning that it gets, okay, it gets, you can pull it from where you put it on over here until your finger, but not wrapping around your arm. So it has to be that long. And he says if there's any rip in between there, it's going to be pasul.
We're talking about the shel.
The shel yad. The shel yad. Yeah. Shel yad. But after that, if you start to roll around, or once you start to put it on your fingers, so then there's no problem at all. Rip after that.
There's no problem if the part that I wrap around my arms has a rip in it, as long as it's long enough to go over right there.
Yes.
V'chein
ha'reiti, and he says, and I've told people this. V'chein ha'reiti kama pa'amim lahatir. But I've never said that it's mutter betoch hashir. He's machmir. But I've been matir to even tie, and not even to sew, to even tie after the shiur. Then I'm so in general he's machmir. How does this come out the halacha? Shulchan Aruch says im nifsekah ritzua. Yesh matirim litfor mitzad pnim. Some are makil to be tofer mitzad pnim before the kesher. V'yeshamim masha makif mimenu harosh u'bishal yad kidei shetakif hazra likshorat. Sorry, yesh matirim litfor mitzad pnim everywhere. You can be tofer as much as you want. That's the Rabbeinu Tam. He's the one who says that you can litfor is fine. That's the puk my amadaver. That's the most makel shita that you can be tofer wherever you want. And some say that the shear until your hand, you can't do anything. You can't sew or tie. But the shel yad after that part, meaning once you have to start wrap it around, or the shel rosh, the parts that are hanging, but then after that it's okay. So he basically passes like the Chumat HaDeshen, but he says b'shat atchak, if it's you, this is your only pair of tefillin and there's nothing you can do about it, you could tie. Okay. That's that part. Let's skip the Taz. We'll go to the last halachic sugya over here. Kovishir, Rav Elchanan. Okay. This is talking about the Tashmishei Kedusha and the Tashmishei Mitzvah. So here is going to be our first real conceptual chakira that we're going to see. Achronus HaTorah. Yesh lahavin tam achiluk bein mitzvah lekedusha. What is the difference? How are we going to describe the difference between Tashmishei Kedusha and Tashmishei Mitzvah? V'shalti zeh me'et ha'gon Rav Yehoshua Zelig Zatzal ha'ilu yanifla mi'klimovich yiftar brisk b'shnat tafreshayin v'shiv li di'esh li stapek b'shi'ur d'titis im ha'shi'ur hu v'kiyum ha'mitzvah sh'tzarech l'obosh titis shal yud beit godlin od ha'shir urak b'ha'chefza aval eino tzarech l'obosh et kol ha'shir. Now, practically speaking, I'm unclear how this works, but I can tell you what he means theoretically. He says, what is it about tzitzit that you need 12 godin? For what purpose do you need it? Do you need it to make the cheftza a piece of tefillin? In other words, is tefillin defined as an object that has the 12 godlin, the 12 knots, right? Knots? Is it knots or is it the...
The godel is like a measurement, like an.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. Right? Yeah, the 12 godel is the measurement of how long it is. Godel is your finger, 12 finger breaths. Do you need that? So in other words, do you have to? You know, even if I were to take these tzitzis off, let's say I took them off, right, and I shortened or elongated the shiur, is that going to define whether or not it's tzitzis? Is that what we're concerned with, or is it that when I'm wearing a beged that has four corners, I need to put on it fringes that have a length of 12 finger breadths? Is it a din in the cheftza, the beged, or is it a din in the gavra, the person wearing the tzitzis?
What's the difference?
Okay, so what's the difference? V'im yitzur, let's say the tzitzit ten shel yud bet golden, who eino lovesh rak chatzi ashir gam ken kasher. If somehow, I don't exactly know what he means by this, if somehow you were wearing a pair of tefillin that actually did have 12 godlin of length, but you were not wearing the 12 godlin, I don't understand exactly how this works, but if somehow you were not wearing the 12 godlin, but the tzitzis had the 12 godlin, so that it was a kosher pair of tzitzis, but you weren't wearing all 12 godlin, I'm still not clear. So that would be still okay if you assume that it's on the cheftza. But if not, then not. That would mean that it's all about the cheftza, if it was still okay. Did anybody know how this works? How this would work, by the way? How would this work? How would you have a pair of tzitzis that had 12 godlin, but you weren't wearing 12 godlin? How would this work?
Means it's a pair of tzitzis I have in my drawer somewhere.
But we were talking about
wearing the tzitzit, just not the 12.
Are you saying like the car is the length or is not the length?
Well, he's saying if we say that this is fine, then it means that it's about the cheftza. It means that the tzitzit. Now, if you want to know what the nafkamina is, here it comes. Okay, here's the real nafkamina. If we assume this way, if we assume that it's. It's not about the levisha. It's not about the act of putting on the tzitzit. It's not about the gavra. But rather, it's about the beged itself. Okay? So then the following happens. What it means is as follows. Imagine if you had a pair of tefillin, of tzitzit rather, that they had 12 golden, they had the proper amount of length, right, when you made them, and then you cut them, and what happened? They lost the shiur. So now what happens?
It was made with the shiur, but then you cut them after it was made. Right.
So it sounds like he's saying, shayach lahachshir. I would have thought lahachshir these gardumin, shein tzarich lahashir ela b'tchilat asiatan v'lo achar kach, because you only needed the shiur in order to make them tzitzis. But once they're tzitzis, they remain tzitzis.
That's not obvious.
It's not obvious at all, no.
Happens all the time. It's on the cheftza, but then once it loses that, it no longer qualifies. It's no longer valid.
Right. I agree with you. But he's going to say that that's the difference between tashmishe kedusha and tashmishe mitzvah. See, take a look. V'im ken yesh amar dezeu tam echilik ben mitzvah lekedusha. Dahinu. Tebe tashmishe kedusha... Hashir hu gam b'kiyum ha-mitzvah, v'lo rak b'ha-cheftza greida, ela d'tzarech l'lbo shi'ur shalem shal ratzuot, v'mishum hachi lo shayach l'hashir gadumin. Basically, he's implying, when it comes to tashmishei kedusha, you need the shi'ur when you're doing the mitzvah, and not only when you create the Cheftza. That it's that when you have Tashmish, when you have a mitzvah that you're doing with Kedusha, then it has to do with the Asiyat HaMitzvah. The full shir has to be there. It's not good enough to just have the Cheftza, that at some point was Ra'ui. But with regards to a mitzvah, as long as it at some point was good, then it's still good.
That's why it's anti-intuitive to me.
So that's what he thought. That's what this other fellow thought.
Doesn't sound very Jewish.
Rav Elchanan didn't agree. Rav Elchanan says, I'm not sure. He said, Tzachim, to my paskev atu kulo b'chad machtino. Why is he lumping everything together? Everything works like this. Maybe it could be the opposite sometimes. I don't understand. Now, I just want to step back for a second and remind ourselves what we're talking about over here. The Gemara had said that Gardume Tchelet is Kasher, and then jumped and said, which means that Gardume Tfilin might not be Kasher. Why? Because Tashmishei Mitzvah is going to be Kasher, but Tashmishei Kedusha is not going to be Kasher. Now again, what's Gardume Tchelet? Gardume Tchelet is tzitzis that have been cut, but, I'm going to just make sure that I've had this right, but still retain this the proper shear, right? Oh. No. No, sorry, it does not retain its proper shear. I think it's the ideal shear. No, it's not. Hold on. Here we go. Okay. Okay. So, like this. Yeah, the tzitzis actually end up being less than the proper shear. They end up being less than the proper shear, and they're still kosher. That's what the Gemara is assuming over here. That's what the Brisa says, that they're still going to be kosher, whereas the tefillin don't work like that. So he wants to say, so the first opinion wanted to say that the tefillin, the tzitzis will remain kosher because at some point they were kosher, and that's good enough because it's only about the cheftza. And the cheftza was once kosher, so it's still going to be okay. Whereas tefillin, no, the point is that the mitzvah of putting the tefillin on, that's what interests us. So at that point it has to be kosher. So if at any point then it's not kosher, then it's no good. Because it's about the gavra. It's about the person putting on the tefillin. Okay? That was the first position. Rav Chana has a different position. We'll run through it right now in the bold. Nimsa de tashmishe kdusha tzarech shnei dvarim. Etzem kashrut ha-mitzvah v'akdusha u b'tashmishe ha-mitzvah. Ein tzarech ela prate mitzvah b'atzma. V'gardum v'no mahani ala l'inin kashrut ha-mitzvah. V'lo l'inin kdusha kevin she'en lahem torah tzarech l'kdushatan. He basically says that tefillin needs both. And maybe tzitzis only needs one. Tefillin needs both the kashrut ha-mitzvah and the kedushat ha-mitzvah. What does that mean? Kashrut ha-mitzvah is the part that makes it actually
the proper measurement.
So it needs that as well. Whereas tefillin and kedushat ha-mitzvah.
The kedusha is inherent in the tefillin.
The kedusha is lost when it loses its the shear that it was supposed to have. Why is the heksher not lost? The heksher is not lost because it already was kosher. In other words, once it was kosher, it can't become not kosher, but it can become not kadosh. That's his idea. Okay. Now we don't really have. Since we don't have a minyan, I do want to finish. So that
the tefillin are always kadosh, even if they become pasul.
Right.
Yes?
That's why right. That's
just,
what he says.
That's why you can't just throw them out, for example.
Yeah, you can't throw them out. The last thing, just to mention, this Marsha at the bottom. We won't read through it, but he talks about, this is a Marsha actually from Brachos. He talks about the tefillin that Hashem wears, and he wonders what's the deal with Hashem wearing tefillin. And he says that tefillin symbolizes us tying ourselves to God. And the imagery here is that just like we tie ourselves to God, that He in turn ties Himself to us. That He retains that kesher, just like we tie ourselves and try to attach ourselves to Him. So He, ani l'dodi v'dodi li, so too, He does the same thing to us. He has a little flourish at the end over there about Zeroa Uzo, that Hashem has Tarami Mino, v'tfilin b'smalo, basically, because the Torah is Torah Chesed, and the tefillin is a midat ha-gevura, it's a midat ha-gevura, which is why the tefillin shel Rosh is what scares the oncoming nations as they see you, because tefillin has a sense of gevura to it, a sense of strength and
as we have the bracha in the morning.
That's exactly right. They used to, apparently. That's what they used to do. All right, we will stop there. The next time, Bezrat Hashem, we'll talk about the sugya of, I hope, about a brachot on tefillin. Mm-hmm. Right? The difference between Sephardim and Ashkenazim, trying to figure out what we Ashkenazim are doing. Make two brachot. And why? No, not at all. We Ashkenazim make two brachot. And Sephardim only make one bracha.
Come on.
Mitzvah tefillin.
Shkayach.